3 Nephi chapter 19. In this chapter, we begin with the time after Jesus has just left them. And again, he went off to preach to the lost 10 tribes. And that evening, everyone in the land is told about that Jesus has came, that he will be there the next day. And so they all begin to gather. On the next day, as they gather, the 12 divides them into 12 groups, and then they preach to each group, and then they tell each person to begin to pray, because this is what the Jesus taught them, that the main thing that we're teaching people is to pray, to turn them to Jesus, or to turn them to the Father. It is so difficult today to deal with the churches of today, and especially the Mormon Church that has the Book of Mormon, who then desires to bring them unto the church or unto men, when we've seen over and over those that the Lord chooses always spends all their time directing others to the Lord. That is your work or your desire for others. Your desires for yourself is to the Lord. All there is the Lord. And therefore, as they pray, what they pray for is they pray for the Holy Ghost. Why do they want the Holy Ghost? They want the Holy Ghost to comfort them during their sins, to help them overcome their sins, to direct them on what they need to do to repent. They are desirous to be baptized, to repent now, then be baptized, and continue to repent, to have continued repentance. And they desire to have the Holy Ghost to help them and direct them in that. And that is the purpose of having the Holy Ghost with you all the time, is to be your comforter and director in overcoming your sin. Because again, the Lord cannot dwell with you in a sinful nature. So the Holy Ghost, that is his purpose. And that, but again, the point is they're praying for them for help in overcoming their sin, not someone else's. They're not looking around. They're looking at themselves and correcting themselves, as this is the work and desire of the Lord. And if you have the desire of Jesus Christ, his desire is to have you perfected so that you can be with him. And so your side is on perfecting yourself. Then says in verse 12 that Nephi and the 12 are baptized. And after they're baptized, then they're filled with fire and the Holy Ghost. Now, this is not talking about the confirmation of the Holy Ghost. It is talking about another manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And and this is the portion that Jesus gives them. And he said that I will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And again, that is he is there acting as a conduit to receive the love of Christ, and to receive and fill him, and to feel his comfort and his help, and then to feel the fire. The fire is the burning in the heart, the love of Christ that you feel. And this is what is brought down and descended upon you, and it's this special case of having the Holy Ghost open up you to receive the full power of the love of Christ. And then it says that they're encompassed by a real fire. And what does this fire signify? It signifies the burning of wickedness, or the burning of their sin. And it signifies that as they look at their sins, they don't want to have a thing to do with their sins. They built the character and the desire that their sins appall them, that they have a singeing feeling, that they don't want to touch them, that they want to repel from them. These are the things that they feel, and they want this burned up, their desires to sin to be burned up in their soul. And again, this whole thing is being written here as a personal desire for yourself to be purified in Christ, so that you can go unto him and be with him. And this is what our meetings and what we're to be taught. This is our focus. This is what the only way that other men can help us. They can help us to focus on Christ. Well, then says that Jesus and angels come to minister to them and to teach them and to explain to them what is going on here. That is what that is what it means to minister. So that they can more fully understand those feelings. Why? So that they can continue in their lives. They have not been perfected yet. So they have complete understanding of what is going on, so they can continue to desire these experiences and continue to correct themselves and have personal growth to their own perfection, so they can continually have this for eternity. It says then that they kneel and they pray to Jesus. They can pray, they can call on the Father, but they, in their minds and what they have, they are focused on Jesus. And then it says that Jesus goes and prays to the Father. What is this doing? It is setting up the path that we can only go to the Father through Jesus. And what is Jesus' prayer? That they may be one with Jesus as he is with the Father, which then may make them all one. But we must first become one with Jesus. And after that, he will direct us and perfect us that we can then be one with the Father in him also. But the point is, you must go through him to know the Father. It is impossible for you to know the Father without going through him. And so therefore, even when you begin your prayers with our Father in heaven, if you're thinking of the Savior and thinking of going through him and having him teach you of the Father, that's fine. Again, we're not putting down one or the other. Our path is through Jesus Christ. We look to him and he will direct us to the Father. Our desire is to live with the Father and return to our Father. And our only path and our only sight is through Jesus, and our focus is on him to do that. It then says in 24 that they pray with the Spirit. If you are in full tune with the Spirit and it is directing your life and your path, or your, even if it's just your life for that instance, while you are praying, you are in tune with the Spirit, and so therefore it puts the words in your mouth, meaning what is it that you want to do when you pray? What is your desire? Your desire is to come unto Christ, to be with the Father. So your direction is towards that. What is the Spirit? That is all the Spirit is. The Spirit wants to lead you to Christ. So you become one with him. If you want to become one with Christ, then you're one with the Spirit and what the Spirit is telling you to do. So all your desires are the same as the Spirit is desires. The Spirit's desires are to perfect you and to bring you to Christ. So when you are one with the Spirit, you say what the Spirit says, and indeed that is your prayer. Jesus then blesses those who will hear the words or listen to the words of the disciple. What are those words? Those words are to direct them to Christ. And he said, and in Jesus' prayer he says that they will be purified in him. Again, the words of the disciples send them to the Lord to be purified in the Lord. The only words that you would ever receive from a true disciple or follower of Christ to direct you to Christ. They have no Spirit themselves. They have nothing they can give you. They do not have the Holy Ghost to. They can confer the Holy Ghost on you, but they have no power of the Holy Ghost. All they can do is tell you the things and give you the words of Christ, the thing that you can do to receive these gifts yourself. Receive the Holy Ghost to help you overcome your sin. Receive the Spirit to direct you. Receive the love of Christ to be a light to you. Well, everyone, then, in verses 29 to 34, they continue to pray to Jesus. Jesus is the intermediary to the Father. And if you understand that, and as you pray to the Father, you recognize that you must go through the Savior to get to the Father, you will not have any conflict at all concerning your feelings toward the Godhead. It then says in verse 35 that they had great faith. But again, their faith was not based on Jesus' standing there, or that the angels came, or they had this miraculous fire around them. But what is based on the prayers that they beginning, that their eye was single to the Father through Jesus. That's where they were, when they looked at Jesus, they knew that Jesus took them to the Father. So their desire is to him. To do what Jesus wants. Believe that Jesus is real, that Jesus can take them to the Father, that by following him he will get them there, that he has the power to get them to the Father. This is the faith. That's when we say faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, that this work plan of praying to Jesus will get you back to the Father. That is the faith, that he has the power to do that. He can create the experiences in your life to perfect you. He can do everything. He can protect you. He can do everything. That he has the power, that he's real, that he exists, and he can get you back to the Father. And this is they received through their prayers and through their earnestness of the prayers, and this is what they were displaying, this is what they were feeling, this is what they were being strengthening during those prayers. And it was not based in one. It was not based on a concern that they had seen Jesus or had these fires that created this in them. These other things were just a manifestation of their faith, and in fact, if it did not motivate them or spark the faith that was already in them, it would have led to their destruction, because it would have led to a lip service in their prayer. And their result is that they see and they hear great things. Again, what was the result of their faith? Seeing Jesus, hearing the Jesus and the angels minister to him and what they said. This was a result of their faith. Again, what was their faith? Their faith had been built previous to the coming of Christ and was continuing to grow at that time. It was single on the Savior. And even if you saw the Savior in this experience, you could still say, oh, this is just a manifestation. This is just a physical thing. You must get to the Savior, through the Heavenly Father, through the Spirit, so you feel the Spirit of it. So just because you've seen a physical thing that maybe even arouse excitement or sympathy or any other kind of sentiments, but to really feel the Spirit, you must call upon it yourself, and you must have faith to receive it. And that's what they felt.